This system of testing is broken. It's been broken for a very long time. The data show that in more than 90% of cases where a new drug passes muster in 10 years of animal tests, when it then goes to human clinical trials, it fails more than 90% of the time. You know, the NBA playoffs are happening now. If you had a free throw shooter who hit one of every 10 free throws, that person, that player would be on the bench. Why is a 92% failure rate considered some sort of success? And the reality is the world is moving ahead. We have innovation in every part of our economy, transportation, communications, aviation. Does anything today in any of those realms look like it did in 1938 when we passed the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act with this animal testing standard? No, it does not. We now have organs on a chip. These are human cells that are aggregated in a microphysiological system to replicate what a human liver would do with a drug or a kidney. We have organoids. We have AI that can look at all of the data that exists all over the world on a drug and quickly deliver outcomes that are understandable and give us a pathway for safer testing. The idea that we don't have alternatives is absurd, especially when you consider that the baseline is so deeply flawed. So we are calling, and I know Lori has already done this, and I know she's going to say a word about this, but we are asking this federal administration and its public health agencies, who have actually made the most important set of statements ever by any administration, the best statements in moving away from animal testing, we're asking them to put those principles into practice because we cannot rescue our way out of these problems. We need front-end solutions in order to protect these animals from treatment broadly that is unacceptable in our modern era. And when you have superior alternatives, you must choose them because the animals' lives matter. They matter to them as much as our lives matter to us. And before I turn this over to Lori, I just want to say that not only are we, excited to work with her and Big Dog Ranch Rescue, which has done so much important work. Thank you for all the life-saving work that you've done. I want to thank also our partners here. Shannon Keith with Beagle Freedom Project is not here, but Shannon does a super job in caring for beagles in particular, has protocols that we will be following. And I know Lori's standards are going to be tip-top in terms of her overseeing 1,000 of the dogs moving into adoption. We have Eileen Ribbons here, the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project. Eileen, thank you for supporting this whole effort in such a meaningful way and helping with really every aspect of it. We're really excited to have Pam McLeod-Smith from the Dane County Humane Society. Pam, thank you for your leadership at a fantastic organization and for the 500 dogs that the Center for Humane Economy will be ultimately responsible for. Staging is going to occur at the Dane County Humane Society here. And I will also want to note their involvement with the Wisconsin Federation of Humane Societies. And I want to also shout out Paul Collins, our Wisconsin State Director. Paul, where are you? There you are. And finally, I want to thank the former chair of the board of the Dane County Humane Society and a board member of Animal Wellness Action, which is the other organization that I lead, Joseph Good. He was the attorney on a pro bono basis who negotiated this agreement, talking with me and Lori daily. And Joseph, thank you for your outstanding work and this really exciting outcome for the beagles here in Dane County. So Lori, thank you again, and I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
So hello, I am Lori Simmons, Laureesimmons, founder and president of Big Dog Ranch Rescue, which is the largest no-kill, cage-free rescue in the United States. So today is about doing what is right for the beagles and making sure these dogs are safe. From the beginning, it was critically important to me and all of us at Big Dog Ranch that there was a real safety net in place. We wanted a structured, responsible plan that guarantees every one of these dogs is safely transitioned into the care of reputable, fully vetted rescue organizations, including ourselves. Places where they will receive essential medical care, including spays and neuters, along with love and compassion that they so deserve. All of this while being prepared for their future and loving homes. At the end of the day, that's what matters most. When organizations, leaders, and advocates work together, real progress is possible. And that's what this moment represents. Across this entire effort, all 1,500 of these beagles are now beginning a new chapter, one focused on care, stability, socialization, and making sure every dog has the best possible outcome. Several hundred of these dogs will be going to our two Big Dog Ranch campuses, one in Palm Beach County, one in Alabama, with the remaining dogs placed with our rescue partners across the country, organizations we know and trust. These dogs are going to need time. They will need patience. They will need support as they adjust to environments they have never experienced before. They will learn kindness and what it means to be loved, how to walk on a leash and see sunshine and grass beneath their feet. We're not just moving dogs. We are preparing them for life. We appreciate the cooperation and coordination that made this possible, especially the work done alongside Center for Humane Economy. We worked together for almost a month to ensure the right plan was in place. This is what happens when you have collaborative engagement, a shared goal, you get solutions that save lives. I also want to acknowledge the role that animal advocates and activists in the public had in this. The courage of these animal advocates and everyone who spoke up and made this possible. It's a powerful step forward towards a much larger mission. This is exactly what Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been advocating for his Make America Healthy Again agenda. It's about using the best, most accurate science available to protect human and animal health. And that includes how we conduct research, because the reality is science has changed. There's growing consensus that traditional animal testing models, including those using dogs, are not consistently predictive of human outcomes. In fact, even the FDA has acknowledged that the vast majority of drugs that succeed in animal testing never really translate successfully to humans. The NIH has also acknowledged that animal models may not reliably replicate complex human diseases, which can limit their predictive value in drug development. And it's why we are pushing so hard towards newer, more reliable ways of testing that are based on human biology and give us far more accurate results. This isn't just about animal welfare. It's about better science. It's about smarter, more humane innovation without causing harm to innocent animals. I'm calling on RFK Jr. to open the Office of Research, Innovation, Validation, and Application, ORIVA, to advance non-animal biomedical research methods. We need continued action by HHS, NIH, and the FDA. Continued investment in full implementation of programs that will accelerate this transition. Because progress only matters if they follow through on their words they have publicly stated. Today is an important step forward because it is part of a larger shift in how we protect the animals and how we approach science and in how we take responsibility for doing things more humanely and better. At Big Dog Ranch Rescue and Center for Humane Economy, together, we are committed to working and pushing this agenda forward humanely and collaboratively. And most important of all, today, these dogs have a future. Thank you to everyone who made this possible.
You know, Lori, when you were speaking, it made me think of, you know, I've got my iPhone 17. What if I came in here with a crank phone or a flip phone? You would think I was so incredibly old-fashioned. A lot of young people, if you have the iPhone 13, you're, you know, archaic. How can we possibly think that this method that was really enshrined in the 1930s is a good way to do science? We have to get beyond it. And, you know, I have beagles. I've had beagles for a long time. They are just the most trusting, incredible creatures. And their own trust is exploited when they're used in a laboratory setting. That's why they're used, is because they're so compliant. They're so obedient in this way. I want to ask Pam, in terms of the Dane County Humane Society, I know people are going to want to, you know, obtain dogs. We're probably not going to have enough to go around for the demand, given the incredible interest in these animals. What should people do, Pam, to signal their interest? Why don't you come up for a quick moment, if you would. And joining her is Amy Good with the Dane County Humane Society.
Hi, everybody. So, I am short as well. All right. Dane County Humane Society is just so incredibly excited to be part of this project. This has been happening in our backyard for so long, and so many people have made this possible today, especially our partners here with Big Dog Ranch Rescue and the Center for Humane Economy. So, right now, our group is going to be staging 500 of the dogs at the Dane County Humane Society once Lori's team gets their dogs off and out to all of their rescue partners. So stay tuned on our website at giveshelter.org/ridgelingbeagles. We'll have all the information there. If people are interested in adopting, they can express their interest there. We'll, of course, gladly accept donations to take care of these pups because there's a lot of work to do in the days ahead to get them ready for their new homes. And we know right now shelters and rescues everywhere are already full of animals. No one group can do this alone. That's why we're networking with our trusted rescues and partners to get these dogs spread out throughout the United States. But around 500 of them will be staying in the Midwest, and we're anticipating at least 50 will be up for adoption at Dane County Humane Society in the coming weeks.
Great. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Stay up here. Yeah. You want to say something about your dogs? Yeah.
So approximately 300 of the dogs will go directly to our Big Dog Ranch rescue campuses in Florida and in Alabama. If anybody is interested in adopting, you can go to our website at bdrr.org. fill out an application. They will not be ready right away. We want to do this right. We want to give them the time to transition, get them spayed and neutered. We will also be releasing our rescue partners where our dogs, other dogs are going throughout the nation. Sure, there's going to be something in their state. And we will be releasing that probably next Thursday or Friday. All of us will need your support with donations. This is a major undertaking. All of the rescue partners that we send out to will also. So I hope you open your hearts and your homes to make this possible for a great future for all these dogs. Thank you.
Great. And I just want to say in closing, before we take questions, I want to underscore a few of the bigger picture requests that we want. Everyone to understand where this issue needs to go to protect beagles and other animals all across the country in major institutions, and with tens of billions of dollars spent by our federal government to drive research. The National Institutes of Health is the largest research funder in the world. So we're asking for an NIH funding ban on experiments that involve the use of dogs and primates. Of course, here in Dane County, you have a primate research facility, one of the eight or so primary facilities. The Department of Health and Human Services has already said that the Oregon Health Sciences University primate facility, which is the biggest primate facility, they want to help fund that program to turn it into a primate sanctuary as an incredible template. Second, we want the FDA to finalize the rulemaking for the FDA Modernization Act 2.0 so we can race ahead into this new environment. The Senate passed it unanimously, the U.S. Senate. The House leadership is delaying and dilly-dallying, and it should do so no longer. Third, again, tied in with what's happening at the primate centers, which are funded by the United States, moving them towards sanctuaries, and then tying that in, and Secretary Kennedy already spoke about this, the idea of banning primate imports. We are capturing primates in the wild in Cambodia and other nations, and we are importing tens of thousands of them into the United States for experiments that don't work. There are zoonotic disease risks and other risks. So with that, my colleague, Joseph Grove is here, and I'm going to take questions here first, but then we'll get some in the queue there. So please just raise your hand and I'll apply. Yes, starting here.
So how long has this deal been in the making, and how many dogs are left at the farm facility?
Let me
just say that with Joe Good, our attorney, I mean, we've been having discussions for quite a long time. And I'll say that it preceded some of the activity that occurred on the grounds of Richland. We have been focused on this idea for a long, long time. But it's a difficult process. We don't know exactly how many animals, but my best guess estimate, you know, just based on what I hear, you know, perhaps 500 are remaining, but I don't know. And that is not something that Richland disclosed to us in any specific circumstance. Right behind you? Yes.
How much was the deal that you guys had to strike to rescue these dogs? I know you said you guys both came together for that.
Yeah, that's a confidential matter. And we're, you know, as nonprofit organizations, we husband our resources, but we wanted to take this moment in the period between present and July 1st to get as many dogs out. And as I said, we are very excited to continue our discussions with Richland and to find an exit ramp for the remaining dogs.
Just to make sure, so again, you can't say how much you did pay for the dog.
Yes, we did.
But you can't say how much.
Correct. And by the terms of the agreement. Yes.
Wait, would you repeat the question since they're asking?
Oh, yes, I will. The question that I just answered was there was a monetary payment. Is that correct? And I said, yes, there was a monetary payment. By the terms of our agreement between the Center for Humane Economy, Big Dog Ranch Rescue, and Richland Farms, we are prohibited from discussing that. Yes, sir.
So I know Bridgeland Farms is getting up its state breeding license by July 1st, but it does still have a license through the USDA, which is active until 2028, I guess. Are they still concerned with Bridgeland still being in operation even after this deal goes through now?
Yeah, we by the terms of the agreement, we're really not going to talk too much about Bridgeland. There are a lot of other sources out there that you can consult in that regard. But I think you heard from me and also from Lori that we want to move on, you know, beyond animal testing all over the country. We're not picking on any one institution, and it just doesn't work. Yes, sir.
You mentioned non-human primates. The University of Wisconsin has, in their most recent USDA annual report from 2024, more than 1,000 of them, more than 600 involved in experiments classified as painful or causing distress. Any message to University of Wisconsin, what you would like to see happen with that lab report?
I mean, primates, you know, on the phylogenetic tree are closer to us than dogs. They, you know, share an incredible, you know, percentage of our genetic material. They, you know, clearly are conscious. They have social needs. They have specific behavioral needs as animals who live in nature and climb trees. And it's just impossible to replicate those conditions in a laboratory animal setting. Even the best sanctuary struggle to do that. And again, my comments about the failure rate don't just apply to dogs. And I will note that while I do believe that the public health leaders within the Trump administration have spoken out more against animal testing than any other administration, the prior NIH directors have said that the animal testing model is broken. This is not the view of an animal welfare advocate. This is the reiterating of an emerging scientific consensus that animal testing is simply not reliable. And when you then compare it to these new methods with all of the innovation that's happening every day, again, we shouldn't be using crank phones. We shouldn't be using flip phones. The world is changing. Let's embrace this. Was there, yes?
Laura Trump is on the board for Big Dog Ranch Rescue, obviously posting a video a couple of weeks ago saying that Bridgeland had denied a $1 million deal. So it's safe to say that this deal going through is well over $1 million. Can you give a rough estimate? And then a follow-up to that, what is Laura Trump's role in this?
I'm going to say, no, it was not over that. I can't, as our contract says, disclose the amount. Money was the only way we could guarantee the safe future of these dogs. We did not want them to be sold off into other testing labs. So lots of donors came forward, supporters and organizations that donated to both of our organizations to get these dogs released. We cannot disclose the amount, but I can tell you that it was well under what Laura had put out there. Laura is a huge animal advocate. We've been working together since we started to shut down greyhound racing many, many years ago. She had three beagles. One just recently passed away. But she's a passionate animal lover and really was instrumental in putting the what we call the strike force with the DOJ's office, with Secretary Rollins from Secretary of Agriculture and the USDA and RFK's office together to all work together to make animal welfare better. The Trump administration is very committed to it. If you want to see more about this, please tune in to Laura Trump's show, My View, Fox News, Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time, and you'll hear more about her feelings and her involvement in this rescue.
Yes, let me get it. Yes, sir.
I want to get back to Bridgeland if I can. Both of you mentioned the events over the last 6 weeks or so, the activists and the public pressure. What role did that play either on your side or on Bridgeland's side in getting this deal done?
Well, I'll just speak for myself that we've been in discussions preceding any of that. So this has been a longstanding concern of mine and of the Center for Humane Economy. Again, remember, within 18 months of introduction in Congress, we got the FDA Modernization Act 2.0 passed, and the Beagles were a part of that. We've been digging into this. Obviously, we've been concerned about Envigo and Marshall Bioresources. So, you know, I do think it's incredible that there's been an outpouring and so many manifestations of concern about animals and testing. I think it's a new moment there. And I think you're seeing it with pundits, and you're seeing it with lawmakers, and you're seeing it with the public. So it's all kind of a rising tide.
Did that add to the pressure to get the deal done?
I mean, I can't speak for Ridgeland. You'd have to ask the folks there. Yes.
So these beagles are going to be available for adoption. You know, what kind of issues are these beagles, you know, going to maybe carry with them? What should families be prepared for when applying to adopt one of these animals?
Sure. Lori? And the question was the conditions or the behavior of the animals and how will they adjust to their new living environments? What kind of things can adopters think about in terms of some of the challenges?
So any dog that has been raised in a confinement situation, a testing laboratory, a puppy mill in cages, is going to go through a transition period. They don't know what it's like to be in a home. They don't know what it's like to be outside, walk on grass. They don't know, you know, normal things that a normal dog from a normal situation, it's all new to them. So people will need to be very patient. They will need to understand. Things could turn around for each dog differently as far as time. Some could take months, some could take longer. So being prepared to have the patience, give the love, earn that trust to these dogs is very important for each person considering to give one of these dogs a home. Each one of the rescues will start it, do the beginning, and hopefully not adopt out until they're ready. But any adopter needs to know it's going to take love and time.
Ed, did you have anything you wanted to add to that question in general in terms of socializing animals? Or if that was satisfactory, don't feel that.
Yeah. I think that would be great. Okay. That was great. Too.
Not that I thought that it was incomplete. I just wanted to give our friends. Let me ask Joseph Grove. We've kind of favored our in office room or in conference room crowd here. Let's take one or two questions from our online.
All right, very good. Thank you. From Wisconsin Public Radio, we're being asked about the very specific provisions in the agreement. You may have already answered this regarding confidentiality, but are there provisions of the agreement you can discuss?
No. The question is about other terms in the agreement that we can we discuss? The answer is, you know, we're telling you everything that we can tell you here.
All right, and a follow-up to that also from Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you believe that there will be other beagles left at Ridgeland once the purchase of 1,500 beagles goes through? Was there an attempt to purchase more beagles?
Yes, the question is, what about the remaining beagles? Are there beagles? And are we attempting, or did we attempt to obtain custody of them? The answer is, as I said before, yes. We don't know how many, and we want them. And we are excited about the idea of acquiring them. And we want to invite Ridgeland to, you know, be part of that process. We obviously need its approval. We're doing this through discussion and collaboration and negotiation.
And one final, will you clarify whether it is 1,000 or 1,500 dogs being released in this initial tranche?
There are 1,500 dogs being released in this initial agreement that was reached between Ridgeland and the Center for Humane Economy and Big Dog Ranch Rescue. One more?
No more.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I just have one more. Obviously, you've been kind of lobbying at the federal level for a long time to get some changes. There's a lot of things happening in the world right now. Congress has a lot on its plate. How confident are you that some of these initiatives that you're advocating for can get done on the federal level? And do you have any plans to lobby on a state level for some of the issues that are specifically facing Wisconsin?
The question is about the lobbying efforts, and I'll tell you that I'm very disappointed in House Republican leaders for not moving the FDA Modernization Act 3.0. It has tremendous bipartisan support. Lots of Republicans are strongly behind this legislation. It's being led by Congressman Buddy Carter, Republican of Georgia, the former Health Committee chairman. The Senate already passed it. So both Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin supported it, right? They are one of the few states that has a split delegation by party, and they both supported it, as have all the other senators. So Congress, you know, needs to stop delaying on this issue. This is not just an issue of animal welfare. This is about drug pricing. It's about the speed of delivery of drugs. It's about adverse reactions to drugs. I mean, this is a startling statistic. The fourth leading cause of death in the United States is adverse reactions to drugs. The animal tests were part of that screening process that resulted in this. And if you watch some of these pharmaceutical ads, you see, you know, all the side effects. It's the whole run of the narrative of the show. You could swallow your tongue. You could have a heart attack. There are all sorts of side effects from these drugs. That system is not working for us in the United States. Question here? Any more? Yes, again.
So last week, following, you know, some of the activists' work, you know, the groups that were on the ground at Ridgeland said that there was a $1 million deal in the works. Do you know, were they referring to your guys' work, or did they not have previous knowledge that this negotiation was ongoing?
Again, listen to me. There were a lot of numbers that were being thrown around, and we were not discussing this with people. This was a confidential discussion. So there was a lot of stuff flying around. We're here to tell you that we got the best deal that we could, but we wanted those animals. And that was the bottom line for us.
Complete that answer. That was if we were to get all 2,000 of the dogs.
So this was the same. They were talking about your guys' negotiation process, and they got that.
I don't know if that was part of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think what Lori is saying is that there was some talk in general, like, what is it going to cost to get all these animals out? And, you know, I don't know what other side discussions were happening, but I don't believe, based on Joseph Good's conversations with the legal counsel for Ridgeland, that there were a lot of other discussions going on. But there were a lot of people, a lot of chefs in the kitchen talking about this issue. Yes, sir.
I want to break down the numbers as clearly as possible. So 502 Dane County on behalf of the Center for Humane Economy. I have 300 to Big Dog Ranch rescue campuses in Florida. Can you tell me the other, I'm not a math guy, that's 800.
Yeah, there's 700 that Lori will be working with her partner organization. So she's going to take 300 at her facilities, but just like the center is participating with Dane County Humane and the Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project and Beagle Freedom Project, she'll be working with other rescues too.
And then a quick follow-up, can you tell me how many rescues total involved in this?
Any idea?
We're working with over 50 partner rescues that we have fully vetted and that we trust to do right by the humans. We will also, as Big Dog Ranch, be a safety net for anything that doesn't work out for the rescues, should they get something they can't deal with medically or behaviorally or in the future. They will always have that safety net and be returned to Big Dog Ranch for our 1,000 dogs.
One last question.
What's going to happen?
What's
going to happen to the remaining dogs that are in the facility? You know, I received a release from PETA saying that they might end up some facility in Tennessee, another research facility. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not.
The question is, what about the disposition of the remaining dogs? And we simply don't know. And all I can tell you is that we continue to feel great urgency in trying to secure those dogs, and we will find a home for every single one of them.
Yes. That's a quick follow-up for Dane County. Wisconsin Humane Society just put out information saying they were going to get 150 dogs. Is that part of the 500 that you were with?
Yes. So we are working with Beagle Freedom Project, Wisconsin Puppy Mill Project, and the Wisconsin Federated Humane Societies, which is about 40 shelters throughout Wisconsin. And then Wisconsin Humane is taking many of them as well. So lots of partners in Wisconsin who are going to be watching after these Wisconsin dogs.
Okay. Thank you all very much for joining us. Thank you to those of you online. And you can reach me at wayne@animalwellnessaction.org. Lori, what's the contact for you?
Lori, L-A-U-R-E-E dot Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S, at BDRR.org. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here. Have a good day.